How many of you ever changed a diaper? Anybody? Okay, so some of us in here. Now, I did not change a diaper until I was in my 30s. And I was married, and we visited a friend, and he said, "Hey, Wei, have you ever changed a diaper? Well, you know, you better get ready, because when you have a baby, you're going to have to change a diaper." And we didn't have any children yet, but it was good practice to change a diaper. Of course, I'm an expert at it now, because I've changed probably over 1,000 diapers in my life. But it was good to get ready, because even though I didn't have any children yet, I wanted to be ready for that time when I would have children, and I wanted to know how to take care of that baby. Now, I want to introduce you to Josiah and HD and Kalai. Can you come on up here for a minute? Now, this Josiah is our youngest regular worshiper here in the English worship service, and he was born about 5 months ago. But what if after Josiah was born back in November, right? November last year, we just left him alone right here in the seat and walked away. What would happen? Well, bad things would happen, right? Josiah wouldn't grow. He wouldn't develop. Terrible things. But praise the Lord, that didn't happen to Josiah. My good buddy HD and Kalai, they're taking care of him. They're nurturing him. They're helping him grow. So thank you, HD and Kalai. So, all right, great. So you should. So we're going through our series on Back to the Basics. And we've talked about last week that it was a lot of hard work to have a baby be born. However, after the baby comes out of the womb, right, it takes a lot of work. The mom has to carry that baby for 9 months. And then she goes through what we call labor, which can be hours and hours of great and excruciating pain. But then the baby finally comes out. But once the baby is out, that's not the end of the work that is involved. But that's just the beginning. We have to then change the diaper. We have to feed the baby. We have to clothe the baby. These are things the baby can't do by herself or himself. And so in the same way, last week we learned how we can help a spiritual baby to be born through the proclamation of the gospel. But once a spiritual baby is born, we don't want to just leave that spiritual baby to fend for herself. No, we have to nurture the spiritual baby to help her grow big and healthy and strong. So this morning, I want us to, again, be very practical and learn some simple ways that we can both enter into that discipleship, nurturing relationship with someone who has just been born again. And then I want us also to go through a practical follow-up foundation that we can then share with someone who has just been born again. All right? So that's where we're headed this morning. Again, we're going to be looking at a variety of verses. Don't get nervous. You know, here in this church, we like to teach through the Bible and go verse by verse through whole books and chapters. But for these 5 weeks, we're going to take a little bit of a break, and we're going to go a little bit more broad through the scriptures. But that's where we're headed this morning. So, how do we get the first? How do we get into that discipleship relationship, that nurturing relationship? And again, my hope is that this can be very practical, that you could sit down with a new believer with just a Bible and what we call a pen. I know some of we're not as used to using pens these days, maybe, but really pen and what we call paper, right? Some people still use pen and paper these days. But you could sit down with someone with a Bible, a pen, and paper, or stylus, or whatever you want to call it, and just go through some basic foundational truths with someone to help them to grow in their faith. Now, as we try to enter into a discipleship relationship with people, remember that we're not just coming in and trying to, trying to dump information onto them, okay? Just, you know, pouring out a whole bunch of information onto them. I don't know who's conveniently located there. But it's a relationship, and it's in the context of a relationship that we're trying to impart spiritual truth that will transform people's lives. But how do we even get into that nurturing relationship with someone else? Well, we can use the analogy, which I just used, of a newborn child. And Joe, we need to help a newborn child to grow. And so I'd like to help you to grow. Or we can go with another analogy, and I like to use the analogy of a courtship and or a dating relationship. And I might tell Joe, you know, Joe, you can date someone for a long time and get to know them, but you won't be married to the person until you both say, I do. But once you say, I do, then you're married. And that's not the end of your relationship, but it's the beginning of your relationship, and your marriage hopefully will grow. Well, you know what, Joe? It works the same way with Jesus. You can know a lot about Jesus. You can hear about him. But it's not until you say, I do, through placing your faith in Jesus, that you then start a relationship with him. But as you start that relationship, again, that's not the end, but it's just the beginning. And you want to grow in Christ. And so I'll point the person to 2 Peter 3:18. We just put it in y'all's Bibles that we gave you for getting baptized. 2 Peter 3:18. And I want to encourage you to memorize these references, all right, so that you could just sit down, Bible in pen, and go through. If you memorize the verse, even better. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I might take them to 1 Peter 2:2, and which says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word. And so, Randall, there was someone who sat down with me many years ago and taught me some foundational truths which helped me to grow as a Christian. I was wondering if you and I could get together sometime and I could share some of what he shared with me so that you could also grow. And hopefully Randall will agree as a new Christian. And you don't have to say, okay, we're going to commit to 5 or 6 weeks of follow-up discipleship. But you can simply link one meeting to the next with your friend. Okay? So that's kind of how we get into a nurturing discipleship relationship with a newborn babe. But once I'm in that relationship, I do want to meet with him or her for the first time. And one of the first foundational truths that I want to establish with the new babe in Christ is the security of their relationship with God, or the assurance of their salvation. And so when I meet with someone for the first time, I I might ask them this question. I'll ask them these two questions. They're called the Kennedy questions. And you may have heard it before, but the first question is if you were to die tonight and stand before God in heaven, and he was to ask you why I should let you into heaven, what would you say? And so you ask that question to the new believer and let them respond. And the second question is, Joe, on a scale from 0 to 100, how sure would you be that if you died tonight that you would be with God in heaven and you'd have an eternal relationship with him? Okay? So those are the two questions that we ask. And you may want the answers to those questions yourselves this morning. And by the way, I just want to ask in here this morning, who in here is 100% sure that if they were to die tonight, that they would be with God for all of eternity in heaven? Would anyone be so bold to raise your hand? All right. Now, for those of you who haven't raised your hand, looked around to those who did. And if you would like confirmation and a little more assurance, talk to them, talk to me after the service. But our goal this morning, in addition to knowing how to get into a discipleship relationship with someone, is I want you to walk out of here with a 100% security in your relationship with God. And so if you're not 100% sure that you have an eternal relationship with God, don't leave this morning without that 100% assurance. And I think we find that in the Bible, and we're going to go through that right now this morning. Again, hopefully it'll train you so that you can help a new believer at your school, at your work, in your neighborhood, but also it will build a stronger foundation for you yourself. So let's go at it. The first, what we want to talk about is the basis of our salvation. So I will sit down with Daniel and say, Daniel, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. And again, we'll read through that. I encourage you, memorize these verses. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that any man should boast. And once again, just like we did last week, we want to define grace. And does anybody remember what is grace? Very good, good baptismal candidate answers. Unmerited favor, right? That's how we define grace, unmerited favor. What are we saved from? Yes, sin. We're saved from the penalty, the power, and one day the presence of sin. All right? And what is faith? Yeah, it's like the chair. Thank you, Andy. I saw your mouthing there. But trust, right? I define Pastor Way's definition of faith as trust in someone or something for something. Okay? All right. So we define those three terms. And what we're trying to emphasize is that a person is saved by grace through faith in Christ and not through our good works. Now, to further emphasize this, I'll take them to Romans 4, 4 to 5, and we read this. Now, to the one who works, and I memorized it in NASB. What we have here is ESV. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor, but as to what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. So we have accounting terms here saying that how do we equal righteousness? It's not through our good works, through being religious. The Bible actually has a lot to say that our righteous deeds in Isaiah, it says our righteous deeds are like filthy rags before God. our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. And that term, filthy rags, is talking about the dirty rag that the woman must use every month because of the natural elements of her life. Those are our righteous deeds before God. We're unclean. And so we're trying to emphasize that to our new believer. And here I will ask them to define, justify. And so, again, for those of us who went through Romans with us, do you remember how we define justify? It is declared righteous. Declared righteous, okay? Dikaiao. And as we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we are declared righteous. All right? Now, the last verse I take them to is Galatians 2, 16 and 21. And Galatians 2, 16 says, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus. Again, there's that word, believing or faith in Christ Jesus, in order to be justified, declared righteous, right? By faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be declared righteous. Very clear, all right? Definitely in a Jewish context, but applying to all cultures. And then Galatians 2:21 is great. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through keeping the law, then Christ died needlessly. And right here, we ask Nathaniel the question, Nathaniel, if you and I could get to heaven through our own good works, then why did Jesus have to die? Right? Does that make sense? If you and I could obtain the righteousness of God through our own efforts, through our own good works, then what was the purpose of Jesus dying? There was no purpose, right? It would have been a waste for him to go through all that suffering and pain. But of course, we can't through our own righteous deeds. We need what Jesus has done for us. So you ask your new believer that question. So that's the basis of our salvation. Again, we're trying to build in the new believer that the foundation for their salvation, for their justification before God, is the grace of God and not through our own good works. Now good works does come into play, but it's in the sanctification process, right? Justification is that moment that we believe in Christ and we're declared righteous, and our good works play no part in that. But once we are justified, then God, it says in Ephesians 2:10, that God has these good works that are prepared for us, that we also rely upon His grace, and we may have our ups and downs until the day that we are fully with Jesus and removed from the presence of sin. Okay? So that is our basis of salvation, and we really want to build that foundation. Now, I remember one conversation that I had in the locker room. Any of you guys ever take PE in school? Yeah, I hated PE. I hated going into the locker room and changing my clothes. And I don't remember any conversations I had in the locker room when I was in junior and senior high, except for one conversation out of all my years. And it was with this new guy who came to our school, and he was a Christian. And so we had this conversation in the locker room, you know, was sort of putting on our smelly clothes or putting off our smelly clothes or whatever. And we're, hey, have you found a church yet? And I still remember this one conversation. He says, well, you know, I'm really looking for a church that preaches of God's grace and that we're not saved by any of the works that we do. And that conversation still sticks with me today because I was kind of growing in my theology and my faith. And I remember thinking, well, you know, that's not quite right, friend. You know, it's a little bit of God and then a little bit of our good works kind of mixed together, you know, 50-50. And then that's how we kind of go to heaven, you know. But I think he was right, this locker room guy, you know. It's zero of our good works, but it's all what Jesus has done. So that's what we want to establish, the basis of the salvation. Now, moving on, I'll say, Joe, that's the basis of our salvation. But, you know, there's benefits to our salvation as well. And I'll take them first to John 5:24, which we talked about last week. John 5:24 again says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. And so I'll talk to, Lawrence, and I'll say, now, Lawrence, did you hear these words of Jesus? And hopefully Lawrence will say, yes. And do you, Lawrence, believe that Jesus is from God, that he is the Son of God, that he was sent from God? And hopefully Lawrence will say yes. And then I'll ask him, well, Lawrence, does that verse say that if you hear and believe that you might have eternal life? He says, oh, no. It says has. Okay, does it say that you might not come into judgment? No. He does not. Lawrence, does it say you might have passed from death to life? No. Has passed. Okay, so we have a little bit of an English grammar lesson here as well. But we're giving Lawrence the assurance of that security of that relationship with God. And he can be 100% sure that he's secure. And then I'll take them to 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And so we do simple English communication again. Okay, Atkum, do you have the Son? Yes, because you've believed in the Son. So what do you have? You have eternal life, okay? You either have the Son and you have eternal life or you don't. And then I come to, verse 13, and I say, what does it say? It says, I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you can be pretty sure that you have eternal life. Is that what it says? No, it says that you may know that you have eternal life. And so this is one of the benefits of salvation, that we can be 100% sure that we have eternal life. And this is what the Bible teaches. This is what we teach in this church. So assurance of salvation is one benefit. Then we have John 1:12. Anybody know what John 1:12 says? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God, or the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Gabriel, you are a son of God, okay, because you've believed in the name of Jesus. Then we take them to Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Heiner, what does this say is one of the benefits of salvation? And hopefully Heiner will see from that verse, forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins, another benefit of salvation. And then we could go to many verses. You know, there are over 30 things that happen to us instantaneously once we believe in Jesus. I'm just taking us through five of them. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, behold, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Joe, you're a new creation in Jesus Christ. There's many other things that happen to us, benefits of salvation. We're dead to sin. We're no longer a slave to sin. These are just a few, and these are some good truths that we can take our new believer through. So, praise the Lord. We know the basis of our salvation. We know the benefits of our salvation. You know, just the other day, I reapplied for my Mileage Plus Explorer credit card. I know many of us, we're going to be traveling this summer, and I'm going to be getting on an airplane. And praise the Lord, because now I am a holder of the Mileage Plus Explorer card, I can check in one bag for free. My companion and I, you know, today these cheap airlines, they charge you nickel and dime for everything. You know, $25 for this piece of luggage, $35 for that piece of luggage. You know, but no, I am now a member. I can check in one bag for free. Me and my companion, I get priority boarding. I know it's not that great, you know. There's still a lot of people who go on in front of me. But it says that I immediately get priority boarding. You know, I'm probably like the fourth group now that I can get onto the plane. I get these two free passes to the United Club at the airport. That means when, you know, everybody else is out there sitting in the lobby, you know, trying to fight for the plug to plug in their phone, you know, and all this stuff, I get to go into this nice United Club room two times every year and, you know, sit back there, eat some peanuts, drink some cola, you know, kick my feet up a little bit. And then also I get 40,000 miles because I am now these are benefits that happen to me immediately just because I'm a member now of the United Mileage Plus Explorer card. Well, friends, when you become a member of Jesus Christ, when you connect with Him, you get some immediate benefits. Eternal life, forgiveness of sins. We didn't even talk about the Holy Spirit. You're a child of God. You're a new creation. So this is what we want to encourage our new believer with. And lastly, I want to talk about the results of our salvation with my new believer. And so I'll turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. And reading that, I'll turn there and reading that with him. 1 John 4, 9 to 10, it says, "And this is the love of God was manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And so one of the results of our salvation is that we now have a love relationship with God through Jesus. And then I'll take them to John 14, 21, which says, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." So, Clement, we have a love relationship with God. And God loves us, but we show our love back to Him through obeying Him. So, one of the results of our salvation is obedience. We want to obey our Heavenly Father. And then I take them to verse 23 of John 14. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me," how do we love him? Through keeping his commandments, obeying him, right? "He will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So, we have this relationship with God. It's permanent. It's secure. It will never be taken away, but the quality of our relationship with God is dependent on our obedience. It's conditional upon our obedience to Him. Just like that, the Mileage Plus Explorer card, there actually is one benefit that's conditional. And that is that I have to spend the $2,000 in the first 3 months on my credit card in order to get those 40,000 miles. Okay, that one is conditional. But everything else is automatic. You know, the two free passes, the free checked bag, the priority boarding. And in the same way, in our relationship with God, some of the benefits are automatic. They're unconditional. But some are conditional. And so if you want to have a close, intimate relationship with God, if you want to have a quality relationship, if you want to have quality fellowship, then we want to obey God. Okay? Just like maybe many of you, you know, your dad or your mom says, "Hey, fold the laundry." "I don't feel like it." You know, "Hey, get your feet off the Bible when we're having family devotionals." "No, I like it this way. I think I'm going to keep doing it." "Hey, wash the dishes. Practice your piano. Practice your violin." "No, I think I just want to get up there and, you know, kind of just let it flow." Well, you know, if you have those kinds of responses to your earthly father and mother, are you still going to be their child if you say, "Nah, I'm just going to sit back here, kick my feet up"? Yeah, you're still going to be, you know, Angie Fan, you know, daughter of Yu Ling and Fan Jiamin, right? They ain't going to disown you because you're not listening to them, obeying them. But you know what? Your fellowship with mom and dad is going to be suspect. You won't have that quality fellowship with them. They're not going to want to come and make their abode with you. Just like, you know, if I don't brush my teeth, put on my deodorant, take my shower every day, my wife ain't going to want to come and live with me. Okay? She's not good. So we want to have that quality relationship with God. Okay. Well, friends, I hope this morning that you have gotten something very practical on how you can enter into a discipleship, nurturing relationship, so that when that new babe is born in Jesus, you will have some very practical ways and some theological foundations to take care of that new babe in Christ. And specifically, I hope that this morning you can walk out of here 100% sure that you have an eternal relationship with God. And again, if you don't have that assurance, believe in Jesus right now, and talk to one of us who has raised their hand, and we'll talk about how you can have that assurance. Now, it was more than 17 years ago that my first child was born, and she was right there, just on the hospital bed, had a few cords hooked up to her, but she was there by herself. But you know what? I'm so glad I just didn't leave baby Pamela to herself, to feed herself, clothe herself, wipe herself, because it would have been bad news if I did. Praise the Lord, though. No, Mom had some very practical skills on how to change the diaper, how to feed, how to clothe. Not only Mom, but some young buck, too, you know, a few pounds earlier, also was involved in nurturing, caring, taking care.
And, you know, praise the Lord that that little baby grew stronger, developed, and by the time she's about to leave the nest, well, she's grown into a beautiful, mature, capable human being. Praise the Lord. And so, friends, I hope that as we seek to see spiritual rebirth among us, that we also will take the mantle and care and follow up so that people, as they come to know Christ, will grow strong and mature in Him. Let's pray together. Lord, we just praise You for Your gift of salvation. We thank You, Lord, for the eternal life that we have in Jesus. And thank You for those who have built into us. And we pray, Lord, that we will be a church that disciples others and nurtures them for Your honor and glory. And Lord, if there's any among us who have not yet trusted in Christ and have that 100% assurance of an eternal relationship with You, Lord, we ask that they might know that this morning, and that they can walk away with that assurance. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.